Thank you, Sister Lisa. I like that song. When it talks about the part where I got saved, I don't know about you, but whenever she sings that part of it, it takes my mind back to the time and the place that I got saved. Second Sunday of June of this year, it'll be 55 years since I got saved. And I thank the Lord every day for that blessing that He bestowed upon me when I surrendered my life to Him. It's good to be here today. So good to see each of you. Any word of testimony, anything on your hearts before I get to my reading this morning? I'm going to be reading from the 26th chapter of Matthew. Anything at all? Well, today, as you can see, we are going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper, or communion as some people call it. And we have several new members in the church today that are going to be participating in this observance for the very first time. And I want them, and I want all of us, to listen closely to the Word of God so that we can be reminded of how special, and that we can be reminded of how important this observance is. And, you know, it's just, things happen in such a special way. You know, today, Brother Jeff and his family will be observing the Lord's Supper today for the first time as a family. That's special. And hopefully, Brother Myron, when we serve, I'm going to give him the tray to serve, and they're going to be served by their grandfather who's going to serve it to them. I mean, that's special. And it's just an awesome time to be able to come together. And I want to share some things about it for those first-timers as well as all of us together. If you're in the 26th chapter of Matthew, I want to read a couple of verses beginning in verse 17. 26th chapter of Matthew in the 17th verse. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And I'm going to stop with those few verses of reading. My text is going to come from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 16 and 17. And they pose a question here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 16. It says, The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And my thought for a few moments of time this morning is our approach to the Lord's Supper. Our approach to the Lord's Supper. And before I get to that, I need to share what we believe as missionary Baptists concerning the ordinances. Some of you, I suspect, have our 18 articles of faith in your Bible. If you do, turn over there. I'm going to read the 16th article in just a moment. If you don't have our articles of faith, which is a condensed version of what we believe as missionary Baptists, see me. We'll set you up with that, and you can have that in your Bible. Our 16th article of faith, it expresses what we believe as missionary Baptists, and it says, We believe that Jesus Christ has appointed two positive institutions or ordinances to be observed in His church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. That baptism is immersion in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And listen to this part. And believers only are capable of rightly receiving the ordinances. And that baptism precedes or comes before the Lord's Supper, and none but ordained ministers have any right to administer them. Simply put, where we can just simply put it, you shouldn't be baptized in any church until you've been truly saved. That's what it's saying. If you do, well, you won't be, it won't be proper, and it won't mean anything other than that you got wet. But if it's done properly, it has great significance to it. And secondly, if not baptized properly into a body of believers, you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper because you don't qualify. So we first get saved by grace through faith. Baptism is not needed for salvation. It's got nothing to do with it. It's not needed for salvation. After that we've been saved, though, in obedience to the Lord, we follow in baptism. And as I said, baptism is only for believers. It's those who have been saved. And when we've been saved, we make an outward expression or profession or proclamation to the world about the inside change that took place within us when the Lord saved our soul. And baptism is also a picture of what Jesus did for us, which then makes us eligible to be a part of a local body church, to be a part, to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper when it is observed. So I want to focus on our approach to the Lord's Supper. What does communion, or what does the Lord's Supper mean? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, we read where Jesus started, or we read where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He said that the Lord, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. This was the last meal that Jesus would share with the disciples before he was crucified. They had gathered because it was the Passover. And the Passover commemorated when God delivered the Jews out of Egyptian bondage. God told the Jews, you know, you'll remember when they were in bondage, Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And there was plague after plague after plague after plague. There were 10 plagues. And the very last plague, God told the Jews to sacrifice a lamb and to put the blood over their doorposts and on the sides, and that when the destroyer came through that night, that those who had the blood on their doors, they would be safe. But every other person who did not have it, whether it be man or animal, the firstborn passed away. But everyone who was under the blood was saved. And Jesus was about to begin a new way. Jesus was about to begin a new covenant. Listen this morning. He was going to become the Passover lamb. Jesus was going to become the perfect sin for all of humanity. And all who are under, or all who are covered by his shed blood on the cross of Calvary will be saved. So, what are the elements? What are the parts of the Lord's Supper? And what is it that they even mean? Well, there is the bread or wafer, and that represents the body of Jesus. And Jesus gave physically his body for us. Now, Easter was just a few short weeks away in the past. And during that time, we talked about the scriptures, about the conviction, and about the crucifixion that Jesus endured as he went to the cross of Calvary. And if you remember, I'm not going to go into all the details, but I want you to remember that Jesus suffered greatly to provide the opportunity for us to be saved. The scripture tells us that he was beaten. We know that he was slapped. We know they pulled his hair. They pulled his beard. We know that the Bible tells us that he was a crown of thorns was placed on his head. He was humiliated. He was punched. And he went to the cross. He went to Calvary. And there the scripture tells us that he was nailed to a cross. Jesus died a physical death. I want us to understand that as a result of that, of the body of Jesus, it was broken in a horrible fashion so that we could live eternally with Him. Now, the other element of the Lord's Supper is the cup that contains the grape juice, which is representative. It's representative of that shed blood of Jesus. You know, the blood is the life of a person. If you don't have any blood in you, you don't have any life. And Jesus shed His blood on the cross. His life's blood ran out and it pooled at the foot of the cross. Now, I know this morning that that's an awful visual, but just think about it. We all know what gravity does. Gravity flows down, and the blood of Jesus that He shed for us, no doubt, flowed down His body, down that cross, and pooled at the foot of the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, "And almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission." In other words, there is no forgiveness. Jesus gave His life's blood to pay for our sins so we wouldn't have to experience spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. Thank the Lord. I'm thankful for all these years that I've been saved. Because of what Jesus did for me, I don't have to face eternal separation from God. What a blessing that is. So why do we have or why do we observe the Lord's Supper? I'm going to give you the short answer first. The reason that we observe or are to observe the Lord's Supper, Jesus said so. That's the short answer. Jesus said so. Think about what an ordinance is. By definition, an ordinance is a decree. An ordinance is a rule. It's an order to do something. And Jesus gave us an order to do something. And since God is the one who gave it, it should be observed by all who are qualified to receive it. The Lord intended for the Lord's Supper to be a memorial. He intended for it to be a reminder. And you may say, "Pastor, this is a strange message today." No, this is what we as missionary Baptists believe. And it's important that we understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, what the purpose is for doing it, and that we do it in the right way and in the right manner. It's to be a memorial. We do it. We take the Lord's Supper to remember what Jesus did for us. We do it to remember what the price was for us to have the opportunity to be saved and to experience salvation. We do it to celebrate our salvation, that it is signed and it's sealed and it's delivered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it looking forward to the time when Jesus said in the 29th verse of this same chapter, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." You ever think about that verse? What a day that will be, brothers and sisters, when we gather together with our Lord and Savior and we partake together with Him. How often should we take the Lord's Supper? We here at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church, we partake of it the first Sunday in May, and we partake of it the first Sunday in the month of October. Now, 1 Corinthians 11 and 26 says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until He come." So what I'm trying to say this morning is, according to the Scripture, did you hear a time of frequency there? There wasn't a set time of frequency. We can take the Lord's Supper any time, but I believe that there's caution. The caution is we shouldn't wait so long between times taking the observance that we don't take the time in between and after of what the significance and the meaning of it is. And on the other hand, we shouldn't take it so often that it becomes a routine and a ritual and it doesn't mean anything to us. So the Bible says, as often as ye do so, to do it in remembrance of the Lord. Now, how a church practices communion or the Lord's Supper on who can participate differs. And I want us to understand this. I was speaking to a deacon of another church recently, and I was explaining to him about the Lord's Supper and how we were going to take it. And this is not a young person, this is a longtime person. And I shared how we at Crossroads take it, and he said, well, I never heard of that. I thought there was only open communion and closed communion. And I said, no, that's not right. But I'm going to tell you what we believe as Missionary Baptists. Some churches do practice open communion. But what open communion is that they serve anybody of any faith the Lord's Supper. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this morning, I do not know of one Missionary Baptist church that practices open communion. And I've been down this road a long time. Not one practices open communion. If you were at Holy Week at all during that Holy Week, our church served on the day that the Holy Week served communion. Some were probably wondering, why didn't the pastor go up there with everybody else? Because we don't practice that way. That's not what we believe. We believe the local body should gather together and take it together. We don't believe in a universal church. We believe in what the truth of God's word is. So, I don't know any Missionary Baptist church that practices open communion. Okay, there's also closed communion. C-L-O-S-E-D. Closed communion. And that just basically means that practice of taking the Lord's Supper is restricted to that church body and that church body only, and nobody else can take it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The church that my dad attends practices closed communion, that church only. And it troubles him and bothers him that he can't partake of the Lord's Supper because he's not a member there. He attends there every Sunday. Now, I'm just going to be honest to you, tell you what his son tells him all the time. Dad, you've been attending that church for 22 years. You ought to be a member of that church and partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, I'm not picking on my dad. I'm just telling you, people, you know, if you don't belong to a church that practices that way, you need to be a part of that church. As Brother Massey said, you need to attend where you belong or belong where you attend. It's that simple. Here at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church, and there's a lot of churches that practice, by the way, closed communion. Here at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church, we practice close, C-L-O-S-E, close communion. And that what that basically means is that it's restricted to serving the elements of communion to those that are in good standing here at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church, but we also give invitation to those that may be amongst us who belong to another Missionary Baptist church who may be among us today. So if you're visiting with us today and you've been saved and you've been baptized into a Missionary Baptist church, we invite you to partake with us today. Otherwise, we ask that you observe and respect our practice on who can and who cannot take it. Before we physically partake of the Lord's Supper today, I want to spend a few moments on how we should approach the Lord's Supper. If you still got your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians, and even if you don't, flip over there, the 11th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood of the body and blood of the Lord. But then verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We get that, right? Get worthy. If you don't feel worthy, get worthy. How do you get worthy, preacher? By examining yourself and approaching the throne of grace and asking God for forgiveness of whatever it is that's a hindrance, so that you may partake of the ordinance that he commanded us to partake of. Verse 29 says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Brothers and sisters, Paul was expressing that we should take seriously the Lord's Supper. This is a solemn or serious time at this time of the year when we come together, and our hearts and our minds should be upon how that Jesus paid this great price for us. And when we memorialize his death, it should be a serious, heartfelt matter that we are a part of and that we participate in. And as he said in this verse, we should examine ourselves. And really, let me tell you, examine ourselves could be in a lot of things, but I think when it says examine ourselves, what we're really saying is we need to first make sure that our attitude is right. We have to make sure that our attitude is right as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We should be thankful as we participate and partake of the Lord's Supper for everything that he has done for us. Go ahead, let your mind reflect back on the blessings of God and the goodness of God all the way back to when the Lord saved your soul and everything that he's done for you up to this day. And give thanks unto the Lord. And we should consider what it cost Jesus to save us. We should make sure that we are honoring him by participating in what he has commanded. I believe that our approach to the Lord's Supper identifies us as worshipers of God. Every one of us that'll stand in a few moments to partake of it, it's identifying to those around us and to those who may be visiting us that we are worshipers of the Lord. It's to show that we are in communion and we are in fellowship with him, with the Lord, that we are bound together with Christ by the sacrifice of his body and his blood, that we have given our lives to him. That's what we did when we got saved. We surrendered ourselves. Nobody surrendered me unto the Lord to be saved. They couldn't do that. They didn't have the power. I surrendered myself unto the Lord with a repentant heart of faith, because the burden of conviction was so great, because I knew that I was lost. I knew that I was separated from God. I knew that if I died in that condition, I would spend eternity in hell separated apart from God. So every time that I partake of communion, it's a reminder to me that I committed myself to the Lord when he saved my soul. I don't suppose I've done as good a job as I would like to with that, but I know what the goal is and what I'm striving to do. My text said again in the 17th verse of that 10th chapter of Corinthians, he said, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. The observance of this ordinance today, brothers and sisters, it is not a meaningless ritual. It is not. It's given by the Lord Jesus with purpose. And amongst the purposes of remembrance of what was done for us, I believe it is also intended by the Lord to be a help, to strengthen our faith in him. And I pray that that's what it is for us today. And that's my message. That's what we as missionary Baptists believe about the Lord's Supper and all the points or the elements that make up the Lord's Supper. At this time, I would like to invite my deacons, if they would, to come forward and to prepare the table.